talking about with Pastor Dan, what this group has sung. They preached my message already. But I'm going to say it anyways. But the message is this. What you see in Israel is what you see. What many don't see is the Word of God. When you come against God's people, the Father rises up. And the power of the work of the cross just absolutely overwhelms. But understand, when I say the power of the cross, is that Pastor Dan prayed that God loves all people. But the Father is the one that gives authority, and the authorities that come after or against Israel will be cast down. We see where Israel responded and watch who they went after. Generals. Authority. That wasn't Israel, that was God leading Israel to take down authority. God raises up authority and he casts down authority. It's scripture. God's heart was those generals before this took place, the attack on Israel, was that they would turn around and call Jesus Christ Lord. But they went after God's people. Let's turn this around and look at us. What you see is what you see. But there are authorities in this world that are moving in the spirit realm that is wanting to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But because you are God's people, it causes God to raise up. Authorities are being stricken down so that you will walk through in your life to victory. That's spiritual truth. And the problem is that many believers don't understand that. So what they see is they think that's what God is doing. What God does is in the kingdom of God, the realm of the spirit, and it manifests in the flesh. And when we understand God's authority that we've been teaching on, then we can stand up, rise up, not being the person that stands on a soapbox and preaches that, even though we can, but a person who believes and proclaims the same word that God's word says, that God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will strike down because you come in agreement with what he said for you in this realm. And so that you can walk in victory. I really believe that God's doing a miraculous thing right now. And I firmly believe, I've said it for quite a few years, that we're in the beginning stage of end times. But in those end times, what our brain, what we see, we go to the bad. I'm telling you that we're in the beginning of great times, that the Holy Spirit is going to be moving. And we're going to see the miracles of God. We're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see particular things in our own individual lives and our homes and our businesses and our jobs. And we're going to see God do mighty works. The struggle of the church today is they're not believing that. And they don't understand that. Deception has grabbed them. And I'm telling you, church family, rise up, church, rise up and begin to proclaim the victory of the Lord, because the victory of the Lord is at hand. Amen. Amen. Well, high five someone before you're seated and tell them you win. Well, good morning. Thank you, worship team. Just another awesome time of worship. I want to welcome everyone online as you're watching. I want to welcome our churches that watch us later on in the day. And I just want to say to you that these are some of the greatest people in the world. And if you ever get a chance to come and to be with us, we would welcome you. Everybody is invited to Valley Community Church. And when you come here, your first thought will be in your head is this: man, these people are awesome. Because that's the way I think every single day, 365 days a year. And I just want to again say to the church family, welcome. This morning we are concluding the short mini-series called The Reason for Easter. In this series, we learned about authority. We learned about the authority in God's Word called kingdom authority. Kingdom authority is through what we found, relationship. What Jesus Christ did on the cross to bring relationship with the Father. Father God so loved us that he gave us his Son, that whoever would believe would be born again and have everlasting life. That's the heart of the Father in the Middle East. That's the heart of the Father in California. Kingdom authority is through relationship with Father God, and that is called spiritual authority, when you have a relationship because you know the heart of the Father. You know the heart of God. Because God is the one who appoints authority. God also is the one that casts down authority. He is in control. Doesn't matter what anybody does, says, thinks, whatever. God is in control, and he is the one that knows the time clock of this world. And I believe that we are, with what I see in my spirit, in the beginning stage of a miraculous move of God greater than the second chapter of Acts. And we're going to see some amazing things come through when God's people will stand believing God's word and have patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may lack and want nothing. I want you to know God will perform miracles in your lives as you walk in his ways. Why? Because we found out when you have a relationship with the Father, you know his ways. Not just his acts, his ways. So your faith is in who he is, not what he does. So in turn, what happens is, what we've learned in this series, is what happens that he is not as concerned about what you do, but in what you're becoming, how you believe, how you react to things in your life, how you live your life in this world. And religious people are always talking about what you do, what you accomplish. And that's the deception that so many people think, that they're not good enough. They're not worthy enough. But we found out about the cross, of the work of the cross, and we're going to see today the completed work of Jesus Christ. Now, before we get going, turn your Bibles to John chapter 19, your iPads, whatever you use. I like to laugh, so let me tell you about a new police recruit was taking his final exam. He was in front of this large classroom, and the sergeant asked him a question. He said, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own mother-in-law?" And without missing a beat, the new recruit said, "I'd call for backup." Amen. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. Ladies, breakthrough in a relationship happens because you step out in faith and you join other women in growing in the Lord. And that's what this coming Saturday is about. And I know that because of difficulties in lives, Sometimes we have insecurity of hanging out with other women because sometimes you think that maybe you don't measure up to their spiritual ability or their beauty or the clothes that they wear. I just want to encourage you to break through, and if you've never done this before, you become part of what the women are doing because it's powerful and it's life-changing. And so if you have not signed up, sign up today and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you into this breakthrough that you've been asking him about. Matter of fact, some of you may be even watching online. You can sign up online. Is that maybe you are literally walking in a lifestyle asking God, how come this is not taking place yet? Breakthrough happens in relationship. First of all, relationship with God, and then relationship with one another. Gentlemen, everything that is announced, that will be announced soon, will be in your bulletin. We will be having get-togethers and times to just be together. Many of you watching online that maybe after COVID has really shaken you, and I understand that. COVID was an evil work of the enemy through evil people. And I understand that the fear, and I understand when I go places and people wear masks. I don't look down at them. I understand what the enemy wanted to do is to rip apart the body of Christ, to rip apart what the body of Christ is called to become and to do. And so with all that said, I'm asking you to step out. To step out and come to church if you're still watching online. Wear your mask. It's okay. We would want to shake your hand. We would want to hug you. But if you are at a place where you still are uncomfortable with that, come and just tell people, not at this time. And it's okay. We're not going to get our feelings hurt. How many of you raise your hand, get your feelings hurt if someone denies a handshake? You're not going to get your feelings hurt. And I want you to recognize that this is the world that we live in, but I want you to also to recognize the work of the completed work of Jesus Christ that will overcome everything the world tries to offer. And so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to do that. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of fellowship and relationship with one another in a greater way. Now, today we're going to totally answer the reason for Easter and talk about the completed work. What does Easter mean? What does it mean that Jesus rose from the grave? What does it mean that he died? We call it Good Friday. Why would you call someone that died Good Friday? Because it is so good for us that Jesus went to the cross and died. So here's the complete thought of today. This is what I want to say to you. Why did Jesus die, and why did he rise again from the dead? John 19:28, there are three words we must understand that is said just before he died. Verse 28 says this, after this, all that transpired during Good Friday and Easter, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all things accomplished. Everything that God planned to do, all things have been accomplished. Think about that statement. Think about that statement with what you see in this world. Think about that statement, what you see in your own personal life, what you see with family members. All things accomplished. It will change your prayer. It will change your faith. and it'll change the things that you speak. Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, knew that all things were now accomplished or now completed. That was the work of the cross. In verse 28, let's continue reading that the Scripture might be first fulfilled, said, I thirst. Verse 29, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, which basically the sour wine is a painkiller, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, a sponge, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, there are amazing things that are said throughout the Bible. But these three scriptures, I'm showing you these three words. Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, says, it is finished. Many people, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Jesus, knowing that his work was completed, said it is finished. So the question is, do you believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus completed the work? That all things were done so that you may walk in victory in every area of your life? So that's the question. Do you really believe it? Many people, after things happen and in their prayer times, say, God, you got to do something. It's completed. It is finished. Now, there are manifestations of miracles that God does. But the reality, because that's the heart of God, that he loves you so much. Even when you don't understand or walk in things, he will do manifested miracles. But it is completed. Everything that had to be done is done. And Jesus doesn't have to do anything else for all humanity, because all things were done and set back in line like it was at the beginning. So what we're talking about today is everything that you need to have a right relationship with Father God, with God, was completed by Jesus Christ. And from that relationship, breakthrough comes out. And manifestations of what you've been believing for a day, 2 days, a week, a year, or all your life, there's a breakthrough waiting to happen. So here's really what we're saying. Everything on God's part has been done, completed, and it is finished. So then the question is, what does it mean that he died and rose again? Why would he do that? What is the reasoning that he died first and then rose again? Well, let me give you a quick answer, and then I'm going to show you four things that Christ did. First of all, he died to give you and me eternal life. He rose again. He is risen, we say, on Easter Sunday, to give you and me abundant life. Jesus rose victoriously, so now I can live victoriously. I am going slow here. We're going to quicken up here because of what I have for you today. But I want you to draw in. I want you to allow the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, and I'm just going to say it, to suck you in to where you're on the same page with me. It is finished. It's completed. And then the result of that completed work, let's explain what that is, the four things that Christ did when he died and when he rose again. The first thing, which is one of the most, they're all important, but there's something that I have found in 46 years of ministry that I have found have devastated so many Christians today because they didn't understand this first point. Matter of fact, when Christ did this, it will transform you in areas that many believe isn't part of the work of the cross. And when I say many believe, I'm not talking about people that teach on it. I'm talking to people that try to live it because they don't understand it. And there's deception in this world that has brought you that you have faced certain things in your life for decades or years, and you don't know how to fix it. And through the years, you thought maybe God just wants me to have this. Let me tell you the first point. He bore and released us from shame. He bore and released us from shame. He bore my shame in his death, and then he released us from shame in his resurrection. So I want you to understand this. He bore your shame on himself, and he died, paid the price for it. And then in his resurrection, he released you from the power of shame that can overwhelm you. But because we don't understand that, shame is dripping off of a lot of believers. And today, remember this? We're going to break out of it. It's going to be instantaneous in your faith. And then your life will begin to unfurl in a greater way. Now, I want you to really understand that all this comes out of relationship with the Father, Father God, knowing his love that he gave his Son who did the work, completed work. And then open yourself up to the Holy Spirit to teach you even more than what I'm giving you. When Christ took our shame, he then was experiencing the separation from Father God. And when you are separated from Father God, listen very closely, then you lose, the world talks about it today, you lose your identity. Because you're created in the image of God. If you don't know who God is, then you don't know your image. And from there, what comes is emotional sickness and disease. And what, in the process of him taking on our shame, we see in Scripture where Jesus Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the first time he was separated from God, from Father God. And there are a lot of believers that love God, but they're living a life not separated spiritually, but emotionally separated from God. And because of that, let me tell you, you cannot handle the deception of the enemy when you're separated emotionally from God. Are you with me? Okay. You can go to many counselors and pay them thousands of dollars. This is free. And you will have breakthrough. This action provided, him taking on our shame, provided total emotional healing for all of us. Because Jesus, the Christ, bore our shame. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. You don't have to be bound by your past. You don't have to be bound by insecurity, fear, guilt, condemnation. You are released in the power of his resurrection. Easter Sunday, you are released in the power of this resurrection of Christ. So here's the truth. Being honest with you, my past before Christ was bad. Some of you are going, but yours was too. So we're all in the same room. And all you goody two-shoes around here who think you're good enough, you ain't good enough for your salvation. See, that last sentence would work real good in the South. But let me say it again. You ain't good enough. Our goodness is of filthy rags. And when you become born again, you are born again and you are in the righteousness of Christ in him. And you are living in his righteousness. So it's not what you do, it's what you are becoming. And when you become, then you do what God has asked you to do. And it's all about becoming. And we find in religion, everybody running around trying to do the goodness, and what do you hear? Well, I've done all this for God. How come this isn't happening? But if you really look at their life, they haven't become what God asked them to become. God has ordained a gift. We heard that today. Earlier today, God has ordained a gift in you. Every one of you are gifted by and through God. But there many believers are not living in their gift because of shame. Because they don't know that you have the power over this shame that the enemy will just drip all over you every single day of your life. Until you get it and you say, in Jesus' name, through the relationship I have with God, I rebuke you and no longer shame has a hold of my life. And now mental health and the insecurity, the fear will begin to move. Fear will try to come on you, but you know, and you will cast it away. Because you've been given the power and that mind that begins to think the way God thinks. Anybody getting anything here? And we just started. So what I'm saying is we need a correct perspective of life without Christ. We need to really look at the correct perspective of what it was and how we've gotten a lot of our truth that isn't truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free of the revelation of the Father, not the truth you've learned from life. Because life will deal you dirty. How many of you have had life deal you dirty? Many of you. You've had the thoughts of loneliness, insecurity, and fear. You've had embarrassing, humiliating times. You've had pride. You've had anger. You had bitterness. It's all bad, but the good news, it's all under the blood when you understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you're released from the shame of it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, it said this, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. What are you bringing that up for? Listen. And they shall become one flesh, and they were both naked. Some of you, I like that. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That was before sin. There was no shame in the world. When they fell into sin, this is what happened. Verse 7, Genesis 3. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence relationship of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's what sin does. We hide from God and his ways in shame. When we hide, we don't know God because we blame God. Maybe some of you, and I know I prayed this morning, about 6:15 this morning in my office, and I prayed, Holy Spirit, bring people watching online that are angry at God and have blamed God for everything in your life. I want to tell you, that shame dripping all over you, but if you are born again, you can have victory today. That's what this is about. So the first response to sin was shame, and then we hide and we cover up. Today, believers, we hide and run from our spiritual nakedness. Now, don't get perverted with me. We hide from our spiritual nakedness because we don't understand we are released from shame. The openness, their eyes were open to their sin. And the reality you must understand is this, is that nakedness is when you see the completed work of Christ, when you see in your nakedness, spiritual nakedness, what takes place is that you are living without sin. And there is no authority in the spirit realm that has authority over you emotionally, bodily, and spiritually. And you can walk in this great victory because you are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. You can walk in this amazing, amazing victory. Holy Spirit's talking right now. Because we hide because of what we feel about ourselves individually, we are rejecting relationship from the Father. And that's why in this series of messages that what Jesus and the Holy Spirit does and are is because of the Father, to lead you to the Father. Because it's the Father who has relationship. All of God, the triune God, has relationship with you. But it's the Father, God of love, that loves you. That loves you where you're at, not what you've done. But if sin come and in fellowship, relate with me, and I will show you my ways so that you can make correct decisions in your way on this earth. And what I'm saying, your way, is that your way is God's ways. Because you're created in the image and likeness of God. So fellowship with God, our prayer life, our belief system, and faith's greatest enemy is shame. And we as a church, we come to church and the preacher's preaching about sin and we say, don't look. Jesus took care of that. 1 John 1:9. You don't have to live in shame anymore. Jesus bore your shame on the cross. You're set free now. All right, let's do that again. Ready? Come on. One, two, three. Okay, now this is what happens in religious circles. Did you see what Pastor Gary did? Did you see what Valley Community did? And then they start going to the grocery store and praying for people. They'll put a white coat on you and take you away. In the garden, there were no introverts or extroverts. Shame created these personalities. When you are delivered from shame by knowing Christ took care of it, you then serve God 100%. And those around you, because they're around you, you serve them, and then you become the blessing in the kingdom of God. Hello, blessings. You bless me when I'm around you. Your anointing blesses me when I'm around you. Relationship and fellowship with you bless me. Why? Because you're from God. You're anointed of God. You're gifted from God. There are people that talk about OSL. Listen to this. Our discipleship group. Not many, but some. They say, I don't need that. They just want to teach you and control you. I'll tell you, if you think that, you're living in shame. And whatever God has for you, you have a difficulty of receiving and walking in. You can't get victory until you realize that relationship is such a key. OSL teaches you how to relate with God and who He is. OSL teaches you His ways, not just His acts. So you're saying, I'm still holding on to my fig leaf. It's funny now, since I studied this and put this together quite a few years ago, and then I've intertwined some other messages and stuff. But the reality, what I do now is when I see people that are, you know, in their life and everything, I'm looking for their fig leaf. Because the reality, they have chosen that. They ran from God, relationship from God, and they're covering up. So you don't have to live in shame. Shame says, I can't commit to much because they will really get to know me. And if they get to know me, they won't like me. And you have fear of rejection. It's because you haven't allowed shame to be removed from your life. Now, this is my statement. You can be who God made you to be because you have been set free from shame by Jesus Christ. You can do this thing. You can rise up. If you've had such insecurity about things, you can rise up. You can do that on your job. You know, people have talked about, well, you do so good on the job, but, you know, why don't you go and become a supervisor? Well, I can't do that because you rise up. That's shame telling you. God wants to raise you up. God wants to grow your business. God wants to bless you with greater jobs and different things. If you don't have a job, you rise up and become who God's called you to be. And rise up and allow God to lead you and get that job. Don't you dare. Now, because when we talk about this, I do a lot of leadership stuff. When you talk about this, don't you dare quit your job and say, now, God, give me my job. Let me tell you what that is. Foolishness. Wait until God, watch the wording, promotes you. Promotes you. So stay where you're at. Stay patient. It might be a day, might be a week, might be a decade, might be 30 years. Stay until God promotes you because He's the one that promotes authority and sets down. Romans 10, 9 and 13, because I want to read you a scripture in between in a little bit, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in the middle of these two verses, verse 11, says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Whoa. That's what it is. Rising up and becoming everything that God's called you to be. The second thing that Jesus completed that was finished is Jesus bore and released us from slavery. Slavery is evil. John 8:30, verse through 33. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." My disciples indeed. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free?" And I've used this illustration before, and I want to use it again. Notice verse 33, "They have never been in bondage to anyone." Any of you ever read the Bible? The Bible tells us they were in bondage to everybody. Egyptians, Babylonians, Chaldeans. And then when they made the statements, they were in bondage to the Romans. They had spiritual blindness, deception. They did not look very hard at anything that was being said by Jesus. Well, let me say this. The pastor gets up and preaches on sin, lust, and marriage. And some people say, "I'm glad I don't have any of those problems." Some think, "I'm born again, I've never been in bondage." Really? Jesus wants to make clear, the truth has made you free, not you. Jesus answered, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." See, someone agreed with that. "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Some believers are living their believing life as a slave, not as a son, not as a daughter. You are a son or a daughter of God if you are born again. If you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, start thinking, believing, and walking in as a son. It is forever. Verse 36, John 8. "Therefore, if the Son, Jesus, makes you free, you shall be free indeed." See, here's the good news. The good news is you're free indeed. Indeed means it was done for you. Just know it and accept it. "But pastor, what do I need to do?" Accept it. "But pastor, this is happening. What do I need to do?" Walk through it as a son. Walk through it as a daughter. "But it's not fair. Who's your dad?" Or can we say it? "Who's your daddy?" Abba Father means daddy. And you begin to live your life and walk in, and you need to understand you are free indeed. He already did it. That's what he did. He delivered you from slavery. It is done. It's not your work, it's his work. It's completed. Galatians 4:7 says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You are set free from God by God's grace. You are set free by God's grace by what he completed on the cross. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, has destroyed the works of the devil and given you power over sin. So that sin that so easily besets you, that sin is a sin that he's given you power over. So whatever you're facing, you have power over it. It may have a hold on you. Why? Because you're living in shame. And because you're living in shame, You don't have right understanding of the ways of God, and you don't understand you've been delivered from slavery. That sin no longer has a hold on you. Are you still with me? Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, has destroyed the works of the devil and given you that power over that sin. You don't have to be in bondage to sin anymore. By his grace, the truth has set you free. Romans 8:11 speaks of the power. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his, capital S, Spirit, Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. Matter of fact, he dwells in you. Back in John 19:28, Jesus said, I thirst. And when he said that, he's saying these things. I am ready to be separated from you, Father. So those we created who've been separated from us don't have to be separated anymore. Jesus is saying, I am willing to be forsaken so they can be accepted. Hello, accepted. You are accepted in the body of Christ. He's saying, I'm willing to be rejected so they can be in our family relationship with God. See, it's all about relationship. How do you get that? Through relationship with one another, too. Jesus, well, let me say this. When he said, I thirst, they tried to give him bitter or sour wine, but that represents in the Bible bondage. Jesus, just before he said, it is finished, they offered that sour wine, and I want you to understand, in the rejection, they said they gave it to him, but from here he was delivered, or you were delivered from slavery. Jesus rejected the painkiller, and he took our pain. I don't have to live in bondage, and I don't have to live in pain, and neither do you. Deliver from shame, deliver from slavery. The third thing that was completed, he bore and released us from sickness. Matthew 8:16-17 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. If the Bible says it, we must believe it. No matter what our past has been and experiences, or what we are experiencing now in sicknesses, we need to believe what God said. Exodus 23:25, so you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's an old covenant provision. Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Healing was a part of the old covenant, and Hebrews tells us that the new covenant is a better covenant. So if the old covenant had healing, guess what? The new covenant is even better. So he bore your sicknesses, spiritually being born again, physically healing, and emotionally a restoration. It's all covered. Here's the fourth, and we'll complete it. The fourth thing completed is he bore and released us from sin. Okay, the power of sin that we can overcome sin, but of today, but he has delivered and released us from sin. Jesus bore our sin in his own body. So my question to you is, how many of our sins did he bear? All of them. Very good. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever past mistakes, I want to tell you, Jesus has covered them all. So here's some questions. Did Jesus bear the sins you keep committing? Yes. Did he bear the sins of last week? Now you'll follow me real soon. Yes. Did he bear the sins you might commit next week? Yes. So Jesus bore and released me and you from shame, slavery, sickness, and sin. He released us from the power of these four, giving us the power over them by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read from the Old Testament a description of the crucifixion. And you can read this later, the whole, but I'm going to shorten it up a little bit. It's found Psalm 22, verse 1, verse 7 and 8, verse 13 through 18. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of my joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus did that. Let's all stand. I hope that this gives you a greater meaning next year when we say it is finished, or happy resurrection day. The true meaning, the truth that sets you free. The truth that set you free. The kingdom of God and its lifestyle is a complete work. Again, it's what you're becoming. It's the knowledge of who he is. So when you hear someone come against discipleship or Bible studies or women's ministry, men's ministries, when the word of God is taught, the youth, identity, bring your young people. That's powerful. It's transforming. Every area, our children's ministry. What do? We teach the truth of the gospel. That's what Valley Community Church is all about. But I want to pray for you before we leave, all those online too, and let you know we are free. I am free. I've already covered that, so don't think this way. I ain't perfect, and I'm going to sin. I promise you. I might steal your candy on Mother's Day. But the reality is, my past, my present, and my future, finished, completed. I just need to learn who he is so that I can do what he is. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to overrule every suggestion, every deception that has come before our present day or even in the future. And I proclaim in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth that will set you free. In Jesus' name. I come against sickness and disease, and I say, be whole in Jesus' name. Miracles take place. Restoration take place. Relationships that have hurt, I come against that pain because it has been taken and placed on Jesus. And we can have freedom from all those things that have brought us into such despair. Mental health, line up every aspect of our brain, every aspect of our soulish nature in Jesus' name. Line up to the Word of God that mental health will rise up and be pure. And I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who make me a better person because they proclaim the gospel in their lives. Blessings upon our fellowships. Blessings upon everything we do. We cry out to the east. We cry out to the west, the north, and the south. And we say, in Jesus' name, come and hear the word of God. Come and fellowship with some of the greatest people in the world. And I give you honor and praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for loving us the way you do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord an applause. Ladies, gentlemen, sign up for everything out there to fellowship with one another. God bless you.